Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today, we're going way back in time to ancient Israel, and we're going to explore this world of prophets. But we're not just interested in what they predicted. We want to get at the heart of how people back then figured out who was really speaking for God and who was maybe, stretching the truth a little bit. Like those spam emails that promise you $1 million if you just click this link.
Exactly. Some things never change.
It's timeless.
Absolutely a timeless question. And the stakes were high back then. Think about it, a world where what a prophet said could influence kings and entire nations.
Oh, yeah, talk about a pressure.
Exactly.
So how did they sort out the true prophets from the false ones? I mean, were there like, ancient lie detector tests or
Well,
something?
not exactly, but our sources point to some specific criteria that they used. It's almost like a detective's toolkit for evaluating these claims.
Okay, so let's unpack this toolkit then. I'm guessing moral character was a big one, right? I mean, you'd think someone claiming to speak for God would have to be like, a pretty good person.
You would think so, right? But here's where it gets interesting. While being ethical was definitely a plus, our sources suggest it wasn't like the most important factor. It might seem counterintuitive, but the ancients actually focused more on the message itself, aligning with what God had already revealed.
Wait, really? So you could be a bit of a scoundrel, but as long as your message was consistent with God's previous teachings, you were good to go.
I wouldn't say scoundrel necessarily, but the point is the content of the message was paramount.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, even a good con artist could put on a show morally, right? So if it wasn't just about being a good person, what else did they look for? Did miracles play a role?
Absolutely. Miracles were a big deal. Parting seas, healing the sick. That's some seriously compelling evidence.
Yeah, if I saw someone call down fire from heaven, I'd definitely be paying attention.
Right. But even with miracles, the sources emphasize the importance of context. It's not just about the wow factor. It has to fit into a bigger picture. Think about Moses, for example. God used signs and wonders to authenticate him, showing that those miracles were directly tied to his mission.
So it's not just a random display of power, it's connected to a larger purpose.
Exactly.
But what about prophecies coming true? I mean, that seems like pretty solid evidence for someone being a true prophet.
You know, it was certainly a strong indicator, especially if the prediction was really specific and far-reaching. But even then, things weren't always black and white. The sources point out that even a false prophet might get lucky once in a while. Deuteronomy actually warns against getting swayed by a prediction that just happens to come true if the prophet's overall message contradicts God's character.
So you're saying even if someone predicts the lottery numbers correctly, you still got to check if their message aligns with what we know about God. It's like those phishing emails. They might look official at first glance, but if they're asking for your bank details, something's definitely fishy.
Perfect analogy. And it highlights the importance of this next shining rain. Conformity to previous revelation. This was considered the most important factor in validating a prophet.
Okay, tell me more about that. Why was this the gold standard?
Well, it boils down to this simple principle. God wouldn't contradict himself. A true prophet's message would always align with what was already revealed in the law given through Moses and the teachings of earlier prophets.
So it's like fact-checking. You compare the new message to the established truth. If it doesn't add up, you know something's off. But hold on, wouldn't this kind of look at new revelations? Wouldn't those by nature be different from what came before?
That's a great question, and it gets at how revelation worked in the Old Testament. It wasn't about constantly reinventing the wheel. It was a progression building on what came before.
Okay, so like building a house, you start with the foundation and add new levels, but it all has to fit together.
Exactly.
But then how do you apply this to those very specific predictions? Like when Isaiah said that Sennacherib wouldn't conquer Jerusalem, how do you check that against previous revelation?
Excellent point. Those specific predictions usually fit within a larger prophetic narrative that's connected to previous revelation. It's about seeing the bigger picture.
So understanding the overall message and seeing if those details fit into that theme. But even with all these external clues, it feels like something's missing. It can't just be about checking boxes, right?
You're absolutely right. It's like having all the pieces of a puzzle, but not seeing the full picture. There's another element, a crucial internal one, enlightenment by God's Spirit.
So you could have all the evidence in the world, but without God's help, you might still miss the truth.
That's a key insight from our sources. They emphasize that sin and a desire to ignore the truth can cloud our judgment. They actually use this powerful analogy from Deuteronomy, where Moses tells the Israelites that they saw all those miracles in Egypt, but they didn't truly see God's power at work. It's as if their hearts were hardened to the truth.
That's a powerful image. It's like watching a movie but not understanding the character's motivations. You see what's happening, but you're missing the deeper meaning.
Exactly. And our sources are clear that this internal openness to God's truth is essential for truly understanding the message of a prophet. But it goes beyond individual understanding. It raises the question of, how these prophets related to the larger religious practices of their time, what we might call the cult. Were they all about incense and sacrifices?
Now, that's where things get really interesting. Our sources actually present three different perspectives on this, and they don't always agree.
You could say that. It's a topic that scholars have been debating for centuries.
Ooh, conflict. I love it. Lay it on me. What are these three perspectives?
So one perspective is that the prophets were, like, totally against all those rituals of their time, favoring social justice instead. Scholars who hold this view, they often point to passages where prophets seem to be criticizing those empty rituals, you know, and emphasizing ethical actions.
Oh, I see. So it's like saying it's more important to be kind to your neighbor than to just show up at a religious service every week. Actions speak louder than rituals.
Exactly. And then you have kind of the opposite viewpoint, which sees prophets as being part of the religious establishment, like priests.
Okay.
So from this perspective, they would have been actively involved in those temple rituals and ceremonies, not opposed to them.
Okay, so two very different takes on this. What's the third perspective? It sounds like there's some kind of middle ground here.
There is. The third perspective offers a more nuanced view, suggesting that the prophets weren't necessarily against rituals in and of themselves.
Oh, okay.
But they were against their misuse.
I see.
They weren't there to just, you know, rubber stamp the status quo or to, like, totally tear down the whole system.
Right.
But to challenge people to really live out their faith authentically.
Okay, so it's not about the ritual itself, but the heart behind it, making sure your actions line up with your beliefs. That makes a lot of sense.
It does, and it brings us back to that crucial internal element we talked about earlier, enlightenment by God's Spirit. You know, without that inner transformation, even the most elaborate rituals can become kind of empty and meaningless.
It's like going through the motions without really understanding the meaning behind them. You can sing all the hymns and do all the right actions, but if your heart's not in it, it's just an empty performance.
That's a great way to put it. The prophets were calling out that kind of hypocrisy, you know, challenging people to move beyond just out of appearances and really cultivate a genuine relationship with God.
That's a powerful message. And it makes me wonder, what are some modern day rituals that we might be tempted to prioritize over genuine faith today?
That's a great question for all of us to consider. It might be something as simple as, you know, attending religious services every week without really engaging with the message or volunteering for a good cause just to impress others rather than out of a genuine desire to serve.
You know, it's easy to fall into those traps, to go through the motions without really checking our hearts. It makes me think about how we were talking earlier about how those people in ancient Israel had to figure out who the true prophets were. Today we face a similar challenge, but instead of prophets, we're bombarded with information from all sides. It's almost like we're all on this quest for truth in this world of information overload.
It's true. We are constantly bombarded with news opinions, all these different claims, and it can be so overwhelming to sift through it all and try to figure out what to believe.
It's like being lost in a forest of information with no compass. So how do we even begin to navigate this modern landscape and find our way to truth?
Well, the good news is that the same principles that helped people back then discern the true prophets can still guide us today. Remember that gold standard we talked about, conformity to previous revelation?
Yeah.
Well, for us, that means testing everything against the truth revealed in the Bible.
So it's like having a map and compass to guide us through that wilderness of information. But even with a map, sometimes you need someone to help you read it, you know, to point out the landmarks and make sure you're on the right track.
Exactly. And that's where the idea of the Holy Spirit illuminating scripture comes in. It's not just about reading the words on the page, but about allowing God to speak to us through them, to guide our understanding and help us apply those truths to our lives.
That reminds me of something we touched on earlier, that idea that while revelation may have ceased with the completion of the Bible, God might still be speaking to us today. It's like the Bible is this foundation of a house, solid and unchanging, but we still need someone to help us build our lives on that foundation in a way that's personal to us.
That's a wonderful analogy. The Holy Spirit is like that architect, guiding us as we build our lives on that foundation of God's Word. He illuminates the scriptures, convicts us of sin, and empowers us to live according to God's will.
It's encouraging to think that even though God isn't like giving us new chapters in the Bible, he's still actively involved in our lives, helping us make sense of what he's already revealed. It makes faith feel more like a dynamic relationship than just following a set of rules.
Absolutely. And just like those prophets challenged people to go beyond those empty rituals and live out their faith authentically, so too are we called to do the same today.
It makes me think about all the ways that we try to define ourselves and find meaning in the world today through our careers, possessions, social media, and so on. It's easy to get caught up in those things and lose sight of what really matters.
It is. And that's why this deep dive into the world of prophets is so relevant. It reminds us to look beyond the surface, to challenge our assumptions, and to seek a deeper, more authentic connection with God and with the truth he's revealed.
It's like those prophets are whispering to us across the centuries, urging us to be honest with ourselves, to seek justice and to love mercy. Just like the prophet Micah said, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God."
That's a powerful verse and a fitting challenge for all of us today.
Wow, this deep dive has been quite a journey. We've uncovered these ancient prophet-detecting tools, explored the whole thing about rituals, and even pondered whether God might still be speaking to us today. It's amazing how those questions from way back then still resonate with our lives now.
Don't they? It's like a testament to how powerful those themes really are, how relevant they are to being human across time and cultures.
Absolutely. So before we wrap up, let's just take a second to kind of recap the main points. We started by looking at how the ancient Israelites used this mix of, you know, objective clues and spiritual discernment to figure out who the real prophets were. It wasn't just about checking off a list. It was more about aligning your heart with God's truth.
Right. And we saw how that idea of alignment is important for us today, too, especially with the crazy amount of information we're always dealing with. Testing everything against what the Bible says is super important. But we also have to remember the Holy Spirit's role in all this. Guiding our understanding and how we apply those truths.
Exactly. Like having the map, but needing a guide to help you read it right. But even with a map and a guide, sometimes you hit a fork in the road and you have to choose which path to take. And that brings us back to that question we've been thinking about throughout this whole deep dive. If the Bible is complete, does that mean God's not speaking anymore? Or are there other ways he might be speaking to us if we just learn to listen?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's one we all have to wrestle with. Could it be that God speaks through the beauty of creation, the whispers of our conscience, the advice of people we trust, or even those unexpected things that happen in life?
Wow. When you put it like that, it really opens up a whole new world of possibilities. It's like we've been tuned into one station this whole time, but there are all these other frequencies out there waiting to be discovered.
Maybe that's the challenge in the adventure of faith, learning to listen for God's voice in the everyday stuff, paying attention to how He might be guiding us, challenging us, and comforting us, even in the small things.
So to all our listeners out there, we want to leave you with this thought. What if God is speaking to you right now in ways you might not even realize? What if the key to hearing his voice isn't just reading the Bible, but also paying attention to the world around you, what you feel in your heart, and the wisdom of those who've walked the path of faith before you? Keep exploring, keep listening, and keep seeking truth. That's what it's all about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.